So Elon is one of the incredible individuals who has helped us massively make this happen. That's why. All right, so I'm very happy to welcome Line with us here and really excited to hear what you have to share. We'll also have a Q&A part where, just to explain, you'll see the Q&A tab below the screen. Please put in any questions you have to Line that you'd like him to answer in there. If you agree with one of the questions, because you'll be able to see other people's questions, vote them up by giving them a thumbs up, because that might be then the questions we'll start with addressing. Also, if you want to share anything else, there's a chat function you can use, and that's the technicalities for now. Otherwise, I'm just going to quickly say a few words about Line, but then he'll be talking mainly, and I'll shut up. So Line has been, he's actually like a, you have such a broad background, and I'm really struggling to put that into a few words, because you're a movement coach, a therapist, group facilitator. I've attended a couple of your events myself, but there seem to be so many different facets of what you do, all within the field of relating, but also especially predominantly embodiment. You're combining different methods, and I'm really curious to hear you talk about today's topic of how embodiment can help you to be empowered and also to find true love and what that even is.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you everybody for showing up. First thing I want to do with all of us is ground in, center, connect to our own energy body, which is the basis of the practice. And so let's close our eyes for a minute. I'll do it with you. And then what I want you to do is just tune in to what you can palpably feel within the feather-like energy field within you. This is not about the physical sensations, but you can start with that, the seat pushing back up against the bottom of your body, maybe the temperature of the room or your position that you're in, and then move into the more subtle sensations that are down the midline of the body. Check out in the crown, maybe the forehead, behind your eyes, in your face, the throat. And just sense what's going on in the heart space, solar plexus, lower abdomen, the sex, and then just feel your entire body as an antenna picking up information, which is a subtle buzzing, tingling, glowing pulsation. Some areas may feel like a contraction, but just sense what's there without giving it a label. And then pay attention to the following 15 to 20 seconds after asking yourself this question. How do things shift when I ask myself this question? Am I really present here right now? And right there, you probably noticed there was a wave that came over you and settled you, grounded you into your space. This is you shifting from the ego into the witness consciousness. And there's a palpable, tactile sensation that comes over us that's hard to explain to somebody else. It is experiential. And let's flicker our eyes open and gently come back into the space. And what I want you to do throughout this talk is have a notebook ready to take notes and jot down some answers to some questions, because they're going to help you with some of the path forward, creating a map that's specific to you. And I also want you to tune in to how you're feeling constantly receiving this information. How is it landing on you? The basis of this work is energetics. Emotional intelligence is what is going to create for us everything that we want to experience in our lives. And our lack of emotional intelligence is going to create the patterned ways that we deal with life that actually create suffering and separation. So what I like to do is teach people the somatic approach to expressing your authenticity into life. And that's going to be the basis of what we're doing here right now in the beginning. And so I'm going to do it first. I'm going to tune into the energy field that is me, and I'm going to speak it out loud, although I do this silently in my personal practice. I'm feeling a sensation in my left side of my body through the stomach area and along the side of my face here. The entire system is kind of buzzing, and I'm giving it physical form. I don't really know what I'm doing. I have no intention to look a certain way. but I'm allowing my body to move in a way that is emulating the internal vibrational experience. And specifically, I'm doing this as a means to massage the energy field itself. And so as I express, the movement is actually elicited from the energy that I'm feeling palpably within my being. And in doing it, it kind of stimulates something more. So the intensity level raises, it starts to crawl through the body. And that crawling, I respond to that as well by moving in the direction of that. And there's this constant wave of energy that's moving through the system that wants to be physically expressed. And if we think about what happens when an individual runs through the finish line and the ribbon hits them right on the stomach, they come through with their arms up and it's universal. It really doesn't matter what country you're in or where you grew up. Everybody puts their arms up like that. And you can see we have the monkey forest here in Bali. And the monkeys, their reactions to food or their reactions to loud noises or whatever, they're the same as humans. Okay, their facial expressions, the way their bodies move. We somatically express, it's a universal language that everybody has put on the back burner and prioritized the language center. The language center, when it kicks on, it actually separates us from the embodied experience. There is words in the mind, or there is the perception of our senses, sight, sound, taste, touch, smell, and vibrational frequency, which is also soul consciousness or emotionality. Vibrational frequency, the palpable energy that you can feel within you, is your expression of your energy field. And a lot of times we associate that with emotions, but these are just labels that we're giving vibrational frequencies that we're palpably sensing within our being, and they want to be somatically expressed in the process of emoting. Many of us emote by talking about what we're feeling or trying to explain to other people what we're feeling, thinking about what we're feeling, trying to understand it. This is a mental process using language, and language is a limited tool. One letter only has meaning because it negates the meaning of all of the letters. One word only has meaning because it negates the meaning of all other words. So this is a dualistic tool we're trying to use to describe oneness consciousness, connection with energy and vibrational frequency, which is connected with all things. And so it's a limited tool in itself, but the activation of the language center on the left side of the mind actually turns off the right side. So we're no longer in the actual experience of our emotional embodied life. We are now in the analyzing of it. And our perceptions of what we're experiencing are based on what we've known in the past. Our limited and prescribed understanding of life comes from oftentimes religious dogma, family traditions, past traumatic experiences that were not processed properly, and it contorts the way we view what it is that we're experiencing, thereby contorting its expression into what we've known in the past. The nature of wavelengths are, they're amorphous and they can do anything. And when we put language to it, we confine it to a box. So if I'm standing in front of a room full of beautiful people, such as yourself, I might feel a little bit of energy in my body. And if I say, this is nervousness, now I'm nervous and I can't feel anything else. But if I can strictly feel it and express it, it actually right now is becoming quite pleasurable, and that feeling in my stomach is closer to my heart, and I'm feeling something quite different than I was feeling a little while ago, and that's just from giving it a somatic expression and allowing it to morph and contort. Wavelengths are constantly affected by our thought process and the energy in the field around us and how we relate to them. So if we allow ourselves to give them full agency by turning off the language center, then they will inform us in a way we never knew possible. Okay, so what I'd like us to do in this practice is consistently right now, just allowing yourself to feel, what are you feeling, and give micro movements to that energy. So we're all constantly in flux. And remember, it doesn't matter what you look like. It matters what it feels like. And this is the same thing you should do in your ecstatic dance practice or your personal dance practice or making love or any other kind of self-expression, is let go of the need to put on a show, even for yourself, and find some way to move that actually elicits more of the feelings that are emerging from the quantum level of who you are. So why do we seek other people to satisfy a sense of connection? Why do we seek outside of ourselves, let's say I'm a heterosexual man, a woman, to make me feel whole? If I'm a woman and I prefer men. Why do I seek a man? Well, typically it's because we do not have that aspect and quality of the transpersonal human experience integrated into ourself. And so if I'm not connected to my feminine flowing essence, the beauty and sensuality and tenderness within myself, if I cannot feel my own sexy sensual essence and turn myself on just with my own breath and feel my erotic nature without anything to direct it to, then I'm going to find somebody else to help me do that. We all want that. The animal within us wants to feel the sensual beauty, tenderness, slippery, sexy. And if we're always equating that with somebody else stimulating it, then we'll, it's Pavlovian, we'll always expect that somebody else will create that for us. And so for a man who is typically looking for a woman all the time to satisfy his sense of sexuality and his aliveness and manhood, I would recommend that you do an erotic embodiment practice. And that means moving in a way that turns you on and exercising and taking care of your body and finding some way to really feel erotic energy in you without a fantasy and without directing it towards anybody else. Become the embodiment of that which you seek from other people. And in that, you will create a resonant field that sends out people like, damn, he's so turned on. He's just turned on with life and everything is juicy with this guy. I'm interested in him, versus being empty and seeking like a beggar, please come and satisfy this emptiness inside of me. That is not sexy. Okay. A homeless person on the street does not turn you on. You just want to help them. It's a bit more of a pity thing. Okay. So people are repulsed by the energetic suck that comes from a hole within us. And so we want to come abundant and bring that to our explorations. And ladies, if you're feeling as though you want to find a man, it's because you have not integrated in your masculine essence, which is logic, reason, deduction, a strategy through which you can live your life. That's the light masculine. And I'm actually going to draw, I'm going to pull up here, share screen. Let's go with my finder. And inner, let's break this big and so you guys can see it. I'll try to zoom in a little bit more. This is a model that gives us an idea of these different aspects of the human experience. And so let's say the man, he wants to find feminine essence outside of himself. It's because he has not integrated in the beauty way, which is found in the light feminine, love, sensuality, nurturing. If he does that with himself, if he creates that internally and expresses himself through life that way, then he will become more into, can you see this or no?
No, it's not showing up yet. So if you could open, restart the image.
Yeah, no worries.
It only shows us a list of lots of documents.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, let's do that again. Share screen. Maybe I'll just do my whole desktop and see how that does. Share, boom. How's that? You guys seeing that now?
Yes.
Okay, let me zoom in a little bit here. Thanks for telling me. How are we doing on time?
Great. 17. Okay.
17. Okay, let's be quick. So the light feminine here is what he needs, and doing this in himself and creating this empathetic understanding of himself and his own energy and sensitivity to sensuality and beauty and love. He also gives permission to the polarity, which is the dark masculine. Without this, the dark masculine is dangerous and it causes a lot of harm. But it is discipline, it is drive, and it is creating what he wants in life. It's forcing himself to do it, whether he likes it or not, stepping through his fears and creating, showing himself to the world. The light masculine gives us logic, reason, deduction, a strategy through which we can make things happen. And the dark feminine is chaotic emotional abandon. She gives us access to the feelings that we usually block, right? So let's just go back to that man who is seeking women outside of himself. If he integrates the light feminine, he gives himself permission to step more into his dark masculine in a healthy way, because he has an empathetic care and concern for other people and an understanding of how he's affecting them. And that polarity integrated together creates a man who actually cares for other people. And when he's taking what he wants from life, he does it consciously. Now let's look at the women. If a woman is missing the light masculine, she doesn't really have financial abundance. She doesn't know how to take care of herself. She wants a man to do it for her. And she needs to learn how to create that intelligent plan for her own life. But in order to do that in a way that makes her holistic and whole, she needs to allow herself to drop into the chaos of her emotions oftentimes when she goes into the light masculine, she'll block herself from really feeling the emotional throes of who she is. And so it's often through the light masculine that he can create a safe container. Her understanding, I know how to take care of myself, gives her permission to also do an emotional process and go into the shadow work. Okay, so what we want to focus on right now is the spiritual and a primal, and integrating these two together. Our energetic frequency, which we're just tuning into to feel within ourselves, is our spiritual essence. Whenever you're having a spiritual experience, you're feeling a lot, okay? You're with a group of friends and a big hug, a group hug, and you're like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's because you're feeling a sense of elation and connection. And we want to move that into the primal animal, into our body. Right? So how do we do that? We do it by actually creating a physical expression of our energy in the 3D world. This is a somatic expression of our emotionality out into the space. And so I want you to do that. And whenever you stand in front of a new person, what are you actually feeling for them? Don't say, oh, hey, hi, how are you? Yeah, it's great. Yeah, you come here to Zoom webinars often. You like to listen to people? Me too. Right, so this is a failed attempt at creating some sort of farce of a facade that I'm okay. You've just disconnected yourself from your actual authentic expression of your vibrational frequency, which is the basis of emotional unintelligence. If you cannot express fully all that you are into the space, you're just disconnected from a large portion of who you are, which is a vibrating being. We're way more than our bodies, than our jobs, than our speech, our actions, our titles. We are the vibrating awareness behind it. And not the witness even to it, the ego consciousness that has been created over this finite period of our life. This is a bit of information that we've gathered since we were a kid. The timeless aspect of us is the aspect of us that is palpable through the animal, and it needs to be expressed through the animal. And so here's what I want to do is I want us to think of right now our dream person. Da, 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 da. I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm seeing this goddess right now, this woman who's fully activated in her powers. She's a tantrika. She's done her healing work. She doesn't project on me. She's beautiful, sexy, and she has her own projects, and she worships me and wants to be worshipped by me, and I see you, sister. And her face doesn't matter so much. Her body doesn't matter so much, but I do want you to get an understanding of either your god or your goddess in your mind right now and see them and see the two of you worshiping each other right now. This is actually the God goddess within you. This spitting image is an aspect of yourself. And so I want you to feel your connection with it. And right now I'm getting chills. I can feel the energy of being connected to this goddess and her really worshiping me and me worshiping her. And for the sisters, think of your God and think of him honoring you the way that you desire to be honored. And everybody just feel in you, you've got this. So this person has manifested in your life. You've attracted it. If you're the flower attracting the bee, and if you're the man, you stepped into your dark masculine in a healthy way, and you've come out to that flower and you've pollinated. And this feeling that we're having right now is actually what we want to experience. Okay, so the individual itself is irrelevant. This feeling is ours, and this is what I call an energetic anchor point. Vibrational frequency is everything, family. Nikola Tesla taught us this, and he got that download from the collective field. It is true. What I say to you, like, have a nice day, and you're like, no, you have a nice day. And I'm like, no, you have the best day of your life, buddy. The words don't mean anything. It's the energy behind it. We all know this, that our actions and our language mean a lot less than the vibrational frequency that is behind the words. And so what I'd like you to do is continue to tune in to that frequency of your yes, of the attainment of your goals, whether it be a man or it be a woman or it be a passion project. The victorious feeling of actually having what you want is a sense of satisfaction and internal bliss and elation. That energy frequency is your energetic anchor point. I'd like you to every single day tap into that at the golden moment. The golden moment is when you first wake up in the morning, when you're just coming into space. You're just like, ah, I'm a human. You're moving from delta wavelengths in the mind into alpha, and the intermediary between those, alpha is doing, delta is deep dream state, is theta. Theta wavelength is where we access the subconscious mind. And so we can program our subconscious to be able to access this frequency without us even trying. It's your responsibility to program every facet of your subconscious. If you don't, you'll run the default program, which is corporate consumer psychology designed to create a hole within you so you fill it with items outside of yourself. And it's a never-ending black hole, let me tell you. But you can reprogram the subconscious to default pattern what you want. With the 10% agency that you have over your decisions, you can decide what you pull into the forefront of your consciousness and thereby dictate how the subconscious plays out with you even trying. And so those theta wavelength is where the dream space and fantasy actually melds with reality, and we're able to access that part of our mind much more easily. And before you drink water or eat food, before you go to bed, when you're sitting and watching the sunset and taking in the chromotherapy, anytime you can remember throughout the day, tap back in to your vibrational anchor point, and this will create an antenna of sorts where you're broadcasting out the frequency of what you actually are calling in, and you'll manifest situations and people and experiences that resonate at that frequency. If we were in a guitar store and I strummed the key of C, and we have microphones on every other guitar, they will all make the key of C noise. If we have a room full of tuning forks of different numbers, if I hit the 432, the other 432 will start to vibrate. There's resonant frequencies in the field that are affected by our vibe, and you can create that. But remember, this is a spiritual bypassing technique, which will suppress your shadows deeper into the field and compress them into your quantum layer of your body, thereby creating the vibrational frequency that you're trying to escape if you don't actually embody the yuck first. Okay, so give space to the energies and frequencies of pain, not having this in your life yet. I don't have my soulmate and I'm in pain around that. Feel it and express it and be it and emote it and have a practice regularly of creating that into space physically. So we're manifesting physical form of the energy that's emoting. Emotion, energy and motion. That's how we process emotions, by emoting. Not by talking about them, not by thinking, not by writing. It's by creating physical motion with the energy itself. It brings it into the 3D world. What is this body for? Why do we have a body? That it's because it's supposed to move into 3D space. Otherwise, we would be just this energetic goo that's connected to everything else with a consciousness observing, just like in some of our psychedelic or deep meditation experiences. We're having a 3D experience because we're supposed to be moving objects and moving ourselves. And the way that we do that is called embodiment. And the level of authenticity of your embodiment is if you are expressing your internal landscape outward into the world exactly as it is. And so we don't want to create a facade for anybody anymore. There's no way anybody can find true love if we're pretending to be fine when we're not. So at the cost of potentially ruining your potential romantic explorations, be authentic and stand in front of them and say, "Why, you're a 10 out of 10. I don't even think that you're going to be into me. I really just want you to be on me. And I feel ridiculous right now. I got to get out of here. Thanks for letting me vent. Bye." And what you've done is you've potentially ruined that. They may get a kick out of it and you have a great interaction with that person and an authentic friendship. Or you ruin that, but you connect to your truth more. And the more you do that, the more you authentically, rawly, bravely express who you are, even the messy, even the yuck, even the stuff that you're ashamed of, the more you're going to allow that to move through you. You'll no longer be stagnant in energy and blocked. You'll be free to express all aspects of you, who you are. And after doing that enough times, you poke your finger through this thin filmic layer of fear and you step through, you tear through that paper and you step through the doorway over and over again enough times. The experience itself is the best teacher. Experiential learning. You will not know information better than actually doing something new. I can give you all the tips and techniques and you can watch TED Talks till you're blue in the face, passing out. You can write and talk to your coach forever until your lips are dry. If you take real tangible action, that will teach you better than anything else ever could. Okay, so we got the somatic expression of our emotionality. We got the energetic anchor point of really expressing or feeling what it is that we truly want, which is the underlying vibrational frequency to attract to us. And then we have the holistic expression of who we are, which is the spiritual and primal, the dark masculine and the light feminine and the light masculine and dark feminine. These aspects of ourself are complex. And this is something we're going to be covering in another talk. But right now, you understand that there are ways that you can express yourself into the world that are more holistic. And in doing that, you'll find way more of your personal power than if you were just a fragmented individual who only allowed themselves to express what they thought was appropriate or was safe. And so part of this practice really is being brave to be able to show all that you are. And this is the true pathway to the beauty way, and to pleasure and to bliss and to the love of life that we really want to be experiencing. And if we can do that, if we can find true love of life, love of ourself, of all aspects of who we are, acceptance and self-expression, we truly celebrate our existence, and it doesn't freaking matter who's in our life or what other people think. We really love our life and ourselves. And with that base created, we step through life differently. And again, like I was saying before about embodiment, how we embody changes what the universe brings us. It's directly correlated. And my beliefs around myself through my direct experiences, which teach me, shape how I embody. Okay, so if I don't believe that I can, let's say I love strawberries and I see a strawberry and it's beautiful, I know I can eat strawberries. Somehow the universe ends up with strawberries in my mouth. If I don't believe I can eat rocks, I really don't think I can eat a stone. I never have stones in my mouth. I literally have never had a stone in my mouth. And this goes with that passion project. This goes with that 10 out of 10. This goes with whatever it is that you want to do in your life. If you, through direct experience, understand that you can, you will believe, you will behave in a new way, the universe is going to bring you something new. Okay? And people that you never saw before will start seeing you. And people that you saw but you ignored, you'll see the magnificence in them because you see the magnificence in yourself. And it's going to start changing who you interact with. I'm getting chills. Ah, this is truth right here. We start experiencing life in a new way. So I can blah, blah, blah all day long. What I want to do is I want to open this up for questions. I'm sure you guys have, that doesn't seem like this works. And there's just, it's not going to work in my life around this. And how could this be? Tell me, try to refute this. Tell me what doesn't work. What do you need help on specifically for you in your life? Or what do you want me to expand on? And I'll go ahead and type it into the chat here. And I'll let Christina go ahead and choose and let me know.
So we've already had two questions. One relates very much to your own sexuality. If you're either asexual or you're gay or whatever, gay, lesbian, queer, whatever the definition, how does that apply if the heteronorm, sort of heterosexual norm doesn't?
Okay, so I'm having a hard time seeing how it would be a problem. So let me see, how would it apply to what? To the model that I created?
Because you've been speaking a lot about a man, a woman, and the masculine and the feminine. How would that translate? And how would, for instance, what you said at the start with regards to attraction apply if you actually not having the sexual element as the main factor to seeking relationship?
Yes, well, the spiritual aspect of who we are is the most important aspect of who we are, the vibrating being. And I am... I don't really subscribe to any kind of label to sexuality at all. It really is for me, are we vibing? Is there a connection through every single aspect of my being? Does the feminine in me, which is sensual and tender and emotional, feel safe with you? Does the masculine in me feel like it wants to take and like create and support and create an experience for you? Does the spiritual aspect of me feel met and unified? Does my primal animal activate? It's an energetic connection that we have to focus on. Are all of the keys fitting the lock? And a lot of us are focusing on the physical. And that's where we get these, does it matter if I'm gay or I'm straight or lesbian or transgendered? It's because you're focusing on the physical aspect of our connection, which very much does matter. However, there is a much more integral aspect to our experience, which is the vibrational connection that we all have. And with that, if we focused on that, we would understand ourselves as a spiritual being, and you would probably make love to anyone, black, purple, green, blue, old, young, it doesn't matter what their body looks like, if there was a vibrational match with that individual. Now, we still have eyes and we still can feel. And so there is, it does matter if your skin is scaly and you have certain textures that are not pleasing to me. There is an aesthetics that matter to us. The aesthetics is an expression of the vibrational frequency underneath. And so it will create a disconnect. But I'd say that if we can focus more on the energy aspect of our experience, then we transcend the need to fulfill all of the status quo's ideas around what the perfect partner is. And so right. I guess to sum it up as to what, if it matters whether you're a trans, if you're gay or straight, we each take on gender roles. And so if, even if it's a lesbian with another lesbian, one of them, she is satisfying something within you, which you're feeling as though you lack. So she's caretaking for you, or she's nurturing you. She's being the rock, and she's like that kind of power in your relationship, which helps you feel safe. And you don't have that yourself, and so you're seeking that from her. And so it doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, or it's like they're satisfying an aspect of self which is not developed internally in you. And that model kind of helps us to understand which one of those aspects, regardless of what's dangling between your legs.
Right. And so if I get that correctly, it also doesn't only have to do with feeling sexually attracted to one another. Seeking out a partner could have like other layers of seeking out some of that match. Is that what
Oh, for sure. There's going to be so much more to an individual than sex. But let me tell you, it's integral. Okay, if the sex is bad, eventually we're just friends. Okay, so and all of our romantic relationships, if you can just think back, 100%, this is not a good ratio, of all of your romantic explorations have ended. Except for the one that you're in right now. 100% have ended except for the one you're currently exploring right now, or ones that you're exploring. So if we look at that statistically and formulaically, we can see that the sex, the romantic, sexual, intimate aspect of our relating is what was integral in keeping that aspect of our relating alive. It's transitioned into a sacred sister brotherhood, or brother, brother, sister, sister. Just friends, a text message here and there, and a happy birthday or Merry Christmas, or when I see you, it's high vibes, but there's nothing more. And so we have to really just be honest here. We are primal animals, and that's a massive aspect of our experience. And so it's very important, I think, that we have that passionate connection with whoever it is that we're trying to create a union with.
So two of these questions actually tie into that. It's like, what, either if the passion that you initially have with someone, that sort of attraction, fades and then it goes into friendship, how can we either work with it, avoid it, that to happen all the time, or how to move from friendship into something more passionate or back to that?
That's a great question. It has many layers. I'm going to focus on the first part. The first part is what I have a workshop that I do with couples. I love it. It's one of my favorite ones because we get to play with like jealousy and with between other couples and the drama of the relationships. It's this melting pot. I call it rekindling romance. What stops us in relationships we've been together for a long time from feeling the love and the passion that is at the core of us? Because that was the when we're at our healthiest, the essence of our union. There's a palpable energy that we feel differently with this person than we feel with any other person. And that's why we have delved so much in, so much time and so deep into our explorations together. It's undeniable. Some people feel a certain way and they create this union of energy that just is, whoa, you're an anchor point that allows me to tap into my own energy in a way that I can't deny. But what happens over time? Bum, 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 bum. We live together, we hang out together, and I see those things that were so cute are now idiosyncratic and bother me. At first, the way you sipped your tea audibly was so adorable, and now it's just like fingernails on a chalkboard. The things that happened in our relationship that were slight transgressions, where you've just done things like irritating me, like putting the wet towel on the bed when I've asked you not to do that 7 times, literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, the wet towel still on the bed. It communicates to me that you're either ignorant or you don't care about me or what I care about. You lied to me. You stole money from my account. Who knows what it is that happens within relationships. You didn't show up when you said you were going to. I feel hurt. That coats the love. That coats the passion. It's still there at the core. All of us at our healthiest, if we had home births and we were nurtured to be our full expression of emotionality and artistic freedom as children, would be love. We would love everybody. And in our relationship, it expressed the same way. That is what we are at the core of who we are together, is love and passion. And we just have to get through that hurt to get back to the love again. And so what do? Some of the things, they keep popping in your head. So Christina, you and I, we've had a long-term relationship. It's been beautiful, honey. Thank you so much. But I can never forget that time that we were in an open relationship and we were supposed to have our date night and you were with your other partner and you didn't tell me that you were going to be with your partner. You stood me up and I just cannot forget about it. You're looking in front of me and telling me, Lion, you're the most amazing, you're rubbing my feet, you're the most amazing man ever. And all I can do is remember that time that you were on a date when you were supposed to be on a date with me. That thing is an energetic block between the two of us. I cannot be present with you and really experience the beauty of what's going on. Or there's something left unsaid within me. I haven't fully expressed to you how I actually felt about that. Or maybe I expressed, but I didn't express fully. And anything left unsaid, anything that we do not fully express into the world becomes an energetic block that stops us from being present with what is here currently right now. It needs to be processed. And that means doing a somatic expression of the emotionality, us holding space for one another in our emotional throes and showing the other person that you care for their feelings. Their reasons behind it might be wrong or twisted, but the feelings are real. Even though it may be because of their childhood stuff, or they just can't let go because of blah, blah, blah. But still, the feelings are real and they just really want to be cared for at the base level. The vibrational frequency itself wants to be expressed into the 3D world and honored, especially honored by the person that they think is their bestie, is the person who's most important to them in their world. If you can care for my feelings, then my feelings, okay, you care for my feelings. Even if we don't resolve the particular issue that was coming up, just the resolution in understanding that my feelings are heard, understood, and cared for is enough to open the heart back up to start feeling love again. I like to do some sexological work along with that. So if we can create a sacred space for our partner, massaging their body and letting them express emotionally the stuff that's blocked, and then moving my way down to the sexual organs, making it sexy, and repeating to them a mantra which we have premeditated, a set of words that helps them to understand that I really understand and see them and hear what they were saying, and I say it over and over again. Perhaps with you, Christina, you would say something like, "You are important to me. You are important to me." Because maybe I thought, since you stood me up on that really important date, that you didn't think I was important, right? And so you would be massaging my lingam and my legs and my heart, and you would, "You are important to me. You are important to me." And there's other things that we can do to add to this, which are breath work and some creating the space and all of this. But let's just say this, there are methods that we can do together to create a sacred space for healing, to reveal the love that's at the core of who we are. And part of this is, beyond that, is starting to create a culture that is touch positive. Many men want to take sexuality from the relationship without depositing any energy into it. As soon as I touch you, I only touch you when we want to have sex. Okay, and it doesn't have to be a man. It could be anyone in a relationship, if non-binary. It doesn't matter what relationship you're in. Some people think that you're just a sexual object for them, and as soon as they touch you, it's time for intimacy. We have to create a touch-positive relationship, and that means we're constantly massaging each other. We're constantly feeling each other, fixing your hair, touching the face, and as an expression of the authentic love that we feel for one another. So we need to tap into our love frequency and be constantly expressing it physically to the other person without trying to extract anything. So we put a lot of energetic money into that bank account and it's just overflowing. And it's not odd for us to be intimate because we are constantly intimate with each other. So that's one of the ways that we can start to rekindle that intimate connection. And there's a number of other things. There were things that created that in love feeling between the two of you when you first connected. And you can make a list of those things that you missed. You miss now. It's like, well, these things I used to love. You used to wear lingerie all the time. You don't do that anymore. And so we make a list of all these things and we categorize them, or we rate them 1 to 10. And then we can share that with our partner and say, "Hey, here's my list. What do you think?" You know, and so you guys can start integrating in some of the things that were gone now to logistics and just the utilitarian style of interacting that we get into after a long-term relating. The other big one is we have to have a sense of self, individuality. You must have your own life, your own sense of sensuality, your own sense of sexuality outside of your relationship. It doesn't mean that you're poly. It means that you have self-pleasure practice and you're making love to life in a way that makes you individuate and you bring that juiciness and that aliveness to the relationship. If one of us is lacking a sense of self or health in any area of our holistic expression of life, which is part of that diagram I showed you earlier, then they're going to be seeking it from outside themselves. And this creates a deficit energetically within the relationship where you're sucking from the other person and they can feel it and they're repulsed. Again, like I said before, the energy of what we're doing is more important than the thing. So Christina, I'm like afraid that you're going to leave me for that person that you were having a date with. And so I rub your feet. I'm like, "Hey, hi, honey. How you doing? Oh," and versus You know, and I'm like, please don't leave me. I am special. Versus me going, oh, I fucking love your feet. I just want to ejaculate on your feet. And I'm massaging your feet. And I just, I love you so much. God damn, I'm overflowing. I'm giving. And you're just like, ah, yes, fan me, feed me a grape. Ah, yes. You receive and you feel nourished by this giving versus me trying to extract some sort of safety from you by massaging you. The very same act feels completely different to the person receiving based on the energy behind it. So if we're a whole and integrated individual, we can give and offer our gifts versus trying to use them as a manipulation tool, which is the shadow aspect of relating. Okay, let's move on to any other questions.
I guess you touched on a few of the ones that have been asked here. One was, if you fully integrate your masculine, your feminine, do you even need a partner?
Let's say this.
Why would you be drawn to?
That's a great question. All right, so have you ever cooked a really beautiful meal and put a lot of love into it, enjoyed everything? You're chopping, you got the organic everything, and everything's colorful and beautiful. You got the crunchy, the salty, the sweet, the sour, the spicy. Everything looks gorgeous, and you sit down, you eat it by yourself. It tastes great. It tastes fucking even better if you're sitting on a beach with a magical person and you're eating it with them, and they're like, having foodgasms. It's even better. Have you ever masturbated before? I've done a ton, and I know how to make love to myself really well. But when you're sharing that with somebody else, it's a whole nother level, right? So, I mean, the question seems obvious. It's like, yes. Okay, here's one thing. It's like, it's not spiritual to need somebody else. Right? It's not spiritual to want. All right. Now, everything is spiritual, by the way, people. All right. Your feces is spirit. Everything in the 3D world and even out beyond it in the non-tangible is spirit. Okay. So there's nothing that can't be spiritual. But is it healthy to need somebody? Well, if there's a hole inside of you, like you don't have a connection, if I don't have a connection to the masculine and I'm seeking a boyfriend because I really want to find that in my life and feel held and can, you know, and safe, then that hole within me is creating a deficit that is now filled only by this temporary experience. And this guy's fickle. He's a human being. People come in and out of our lives all the time. He's in a bad mood tomorrow. And does that mean now I don't have my sense of safety anymore, my connection to the masculine? So the one thing that's strong and long-standing that takes a lot longer to create and also lose is our own sense of a connection to that essence. And so once we have internally all that we might seek from other people by self-sourcing and understanding, it's all frequency based. If I can create the palpable energy within myself, there it is. If I can do that, then I can also need you in a really healthy way, because I'm not actually codependent, I'm interdependent. I'm whole and healthy, and I can come to you and say, I need you. And you can say, yeah, well, I'm not available. All right, cool, no worries. I still have everything I need inside. Thank you for telling me. Not that you're gonna be okay with it, maybe it's gonna suck, but if the relationship fails, your whole life does not come crashing down around you. Okay, which is also a gift, by the way. The phoenix rises from the ashes and you find yourself more from heartbreak. However, if you're done with just totally having your whole life crash down around you when a relationship ends, have a sense of sovereignty as well. This is one of the things that's challenging is I want to find a woman who can be fully in love with me and not possessive. And it's very easy for us to be aloof and just like casual sex and no big deal. But to find somebody who really, really is in love with you and you're in love with them and have the non-attachment, for me, this is where we have the creative freedom inside of a relationship to truly be ourselves, because we have the support of the love, the thing that we truly want, and we have the freedom. It's very easy for us to be aloof. So I'm not saying be so sovereign that you're living a parallel timeline that is not integrated with the other person at all, because full sovereignty means we don't need each other. There still needs to be integration where we come together and we support one another. And I think one of the beautiful ways is through our emotions and our art and our expression of life, the emotional aspect of who we are, is supporting each other on that level. That always connects us together, but we don't want our partner to be the individual that we process with. Unless there's something that needs to be processed within us, it should be an 80-20. We're only processing with them 20% of the time. 80% of the time, we're in enjoyment. Process with your support group, with your coach, with your friends, and not people who are in the victim triangle. Yeah, fuck. fuck him. Yeah, he's a dick. Somebody who will help you be aware of your stuff and your blind spots. Somebody who will support you in looking inward and taking responsibility, as well as helping you to have bottom line boundaries and not allow things to happen in your relationship that are not healthy for you. So we're looking for people outside of our primary dynamic that can process with us so that we come together with that individual and bring them our epiphanies and our realizations about our process, not the process itself. That's going to create way more romance than processing with your partner.
So what I gather from some of what you shared is one could probably give the answer to one question, which was like, can we avoid hurting or getting hurt in relationship?
Let me just go right with that. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but thank you. As soon as you say one word, I have the answer. So this is indicative of a mindset that is fragmented. If you believe suffering is bad, you will not allow yourself to express all that you are into the world. So people need to suffer. The baby coming through the birth canal, its head is crushed, and then it's reformed afterwards. It's agonizing to have your brain and your skull smashed, okay? The pine forest must burn in order for the new pine cones to release their seeds. The leaves and fruit must rot and fall from the tree to create the fertile soil for the next. Death is a part of life, family. I know there's a lot of people who are saying it's not, but it is. I have yet to see a person live forever. So destruction and pain. If I stick my hand in a fire, it's burning my hand. Is that pain bad? No, because if it's not there, I burn my freaking hand off, okay? The pain says, take your hand out of the fire. Every emotion is our internal guru of sorts, guiding us more towards alignment with our truth. And if we think that challenging emotions are bad, we're going to always suppress. No, let me do my breath work. Let me meditate them away. Om Shanti. Let me talk to somebody, scroll, smoke weed, exercise, do crack. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do to avoid challenging feelings is a spiritual bypass. Feel them and emote them. Allow them to pass through you fully and inform you as to why they were there and what core wound you have actually stimulated that in the first place. And that will guide you into what action should I take to move forward. Not rejecting my emotions, but increasing my emotional bandwidth and my capacity to handle the full range of the human emotional experience. We are not trying to get rid of our feelings. You can't do that, family. You turn the dial down on every single emotion. You become emotionally unintelligent when you shy away from your shadows, your challenging emotions. You're putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, ignoring something that is toxifying the energetic system that will not, it doesn't get rid of it. It suppresses it, compresses it into the quantum layer of the molecules that make up the matter of your body, adjusting the wavelength of the material that makes up who you are so that you vibrate at that level, thereby becoming what you're trying to avoid. So emotions are just a label we give to a vibrational frequency that we collectively agree, oh, this must be nervousness. It's not necessarily. So stop labeling them, feel them, express them somatically without the language center activated. Because every emotion or feeling that we have in its pureness, its pure expression is gold. Every single one of them is so valuable, even rage. Everything is valuable in a guidance. But the way the human expresses it, now that's under question. That's what we need to analyze. Is this healthy? Is this really helping me? Is this moving me closer to what I want to be experiencing? Is this creating the outcome that I want? And a self-awareness is going to help us with that. What patterns are emerging with my coping mechanisms? And what do I want to do to interject into this loop to create something new that might actually move me closer to my dreams? And part of that is really your internal dialogue and how you allow your brain to speak. And you have control over this, family. You think your thoughts are happening to you, but they're happening through you. Yes, there is a default because of the subconscious arrangement of the neurons. However, you have complete agency over every word that passes through your mind, and you can choose language that actually creates a perception of reality and yourself that moves you closer to what you want to be experiencing. And with pattern doing this, you change the way your subconscious plays out. You can program your brain. Also, that energy, it pops up right before a default thought pattern. So for example, I step in front of that 10 out of 10 again. I feel an energy. That is a red flag. I'm about to have my default thought pattern come through. I need to have a plan of action of what I'm going to tell myself. And that comes from stepping into my light masculine logic, reason, deduction before it happens and having a plan and enacting it through my mantra, my internal speech, what I'm thinking. And I think what is the truth and what was going to help me move closer to what I want to be experiencing with this person. I don't know if that covered. I went on a little tangent there, but It looks like we're getting close to the end here. You want to ask one more question or do you want to close it?
I want to clarify one thing, and I think you just addressed that. It's about calibration. And because you've been talking about authentic expression, always expressing what is actually going on for you, whether that's an emotional expression or whatever, and we've been so conditioned to suppress a lot of that. But where's that point of maybe needing to contain the intensity of an expression because the context doesn't hold it?
Thank you. So, you know, we're at work, we're at a restaurant. Now, you know, I'd say that the emotional person, when they start to unleash their emotions, they do it in an immature way. So for example, a girl who has grown up and her parents have been like, just stand there and look pretty. We'll take care of all, the guys will take care of all the logistics. She feels the need to interject her power very strongly. And if you offer to carry the basket when you're shopping together, she's gonna bite your head off. This is an immature expression of her independence. And as she finesses it, she'll learn, you know, sometimes I can let somebody else help me. I still have a very strong connection to my own independence, even if you're helping me. Now, a person who's expressing their emotionality, they sometimes do it in a way that's a backlash to oppression. So we're inside the restaurant and I throw that table into the air when I'm upset and the dishes go everywhere and everyone's, no, it's just a big drama scene. But what we do as we learn over time that you can express your emotions without creating drama, okay? Emotionality does not mean drama. Okay, emotionality means feeling. The micro movements. I'm going to be emotional right now. I'm super emotional. Not much of it is coming out, but embodied within me is a lot of feeling. I just turned it up and just let the feelings come through. Now, other things you can do is you can remove yourself. You don't have to give excuses, people. Do not wait for an opportune moment. One of the biggest things that disconnects us from emotional intelligence is waiting for later to express. When the emotional energy is there, that's when it needs to be expressed. And that means you need to remove yourself. And we don't have to give excuses. You just go, I'll be right back. Or excuse me. And you just turn and walk away. They're just gonna be like, you could be in the middle of a board meeting, you know, and you're up there with the little clicker thing, you know, with your suit on. And you're just like, excuse me for a moment. And you put that clicker down and you walk out. And you go into the bathroom and you feel, turn the faucet on, go behind the restaurant, go into the car, turn the music up, like emote, be physical, show yourself to yourself. Stop resisting yourself in that as soon as you can and let those energy move through you, because more than likely the stimulus is just allowing you access to deeper core wounds that need to be expressed. And if you don't do it in that moment, it's going to continue to emerge in your life indefinitely.
Thank you. So a last question, if you could possibly say just a couple of words to that in the next 2 minutes, and I know we also have a panel coming up on that, is about the masculine and the feminine and how to concretely find that balance. Because one question was about having integrated one after having had a predominant other one, but then the pendulum swinging all the way. And how do you find that middle and that balance?
Well, each one of them are integral together. And part of it that people don't understand is the spiritual and the primal animal, and that they're integral in the understanding of how to integrate them in a healthy way. These are not just concepts and ideas. These are actual tangible ways that we live our life, and they're feelings. So let me make this really simple. It is through the action of your body, how you move material, that matters. The way I'm moving my mouth now, I'm moving material. Okay, and so when I think, I'm also having neurological activity, which is electrons moving through the brain, so there's material moving there. But what's more concrete, what actually we can see in the 3D world, is me moving things, me moving other people, me moving my body, me like sitting on my keyboard and making things creative. Get your pen and write on the paper, your paintbrush, and get to the easel. Get your chisel and get to that piece of stone. You need to do something that is tangible around the essence of whatever those are. And the feminine is more the gentle flowing emotionality. It's the process itself and how it feels. So create a beautiful environment. Make it feel juicy and beautiful. Have your bowl of fruit and chocolate and your juice and like nice paintings and music in the background, where the masculine has a logical plan of action. The light masculine, he thinks, he doesn't feel so much. He wants to create space for things to be fixed. The dark masculine, he's going to take your ass and he's going to shove your nose in your shit. And he's going to say, you do this no matter what. I don't care if you're tired today. You do this. Okay. So it really is in your action that you're emanating these essences. The dark feminine, I just feel like laying in bed today, you know, and eating bonbons. And like, I want somebody else to do it for me. I'm going to hire somebody to do this part. I don't like it. That's the dark feminine. She just feels like she's entitled and everything's going to do everything for her. So take action in this way. The primal animal, check in And see, have you had enough fresh air? Are you exercising? Have you put your feet on the earth? Do you need some water and some food? Move around a little bit. You've been sitting at your desk for 10 hours. And the energetic, the spiritual, is constantly have part of your mind tethered to the palpable sensations of energy within you. And what this is going to do is going to let you know when you've moved out of your flow state. Because no matter how much you love what you're doing, eventually you're going to get out of your flow state. And if you're not connected to your energy, you won't know that. But connection to your energy is going to allow you to understand as you're feeling, oh, I'm feeling a little off. Even though I love doing this, something needs to change. And then I can go into one of those other aspects and see which one is not being integrated into my experience currently in this now moment. It's the now moment we have to focus on, okay? Is what am I feeling now and what am I doing now? Because the now moment stacked on top of the next now moment creates our life. Stop thinking about the bigger picture and start focusing on how you're feeling and thinking and behaving now.
Great. Love that as a final word. Focus on the now. Thank you so much, Lion. I think we could continue forever, and there's so much, it's so dense and so rich. And thank you for answering all these questions. I hope that most of you that asked them here got an answer to what they wanted to know. I just want to mention the panel that's coming up that Lion will be part of is on the 23rd. It's talking about the masculine and the feminine and how that expresses in relationship and how to find that balance. So if you're curious to hear more about that, dial in then. Otherwise, my lovely tech host has posted a couple of links in the chat right now, which is one of all the coffee breaks. So after the session and in between every session, we have coffee breaks. If you want to discuss more about whatever you've heard and listened to right here, go and chat with other participants about this. Exchange, create that sense of like community, exchange, digest whatever came up for you as well. Otherwise, I mentioned it at the beginning of this session as well. Please, if you can, if you have the financial means, consider purchasing the upgraded version, the library. This whole event is only possible because a lot of people gave a lot of their time, but also we wanted to make it accessible for free as much as we can for those who cannot afford. So any contribution from your side is more of a contribution to the entire project. It's really helping those who do not have the financial means for whatever reason to have access to these incredible, incredibly rich resources. So we've posted the link in the chat right now as well. It's an upgrade to your normal sign up and account on the website. We've also posted Lion's website on here. So if you want to find out more about him, just click that or look at his profile on the website. So that's where you can find out more information and join us for the Facebook group as well, because we'll have the possibility to maybe get in touch with some of the speakers there and maybe you're willing, Lion, to respond to some of the questions people have there or post a link or two if they want more resources. And then last but not least, maybe one sentence, what is your top tip, Lion, to stay embodied?
Authenticity is key. And I think, again, it's the energetic expression of the landscape that's happening within you, expressed outward into the world unabashedly.
Thank you so much. This was a really beautiful session. I think I need to sit with it for a little while. Next up, oh my God, I didn't even have a look. Next up, we have Ali Montgomery. And dial into her session. It's all about the changing the spiritual nexus around relationship and sexuality. All right.
Thank you, everybody.
Well, this is
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lion.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And see you soon.